Raising the Bets is brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network and is made possible by our many generous patrons. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit sqpn.com/give. You're listening to Raising the Bets, a family podcast of pirates and penguins. We're a Catholic couple raising five kids outside of Boston. Join us as we share the joys and challenges of marriage, homeschool, and our adventures near and far as we make sense of the world and experience the best parts of our culture. I'm Don Bettinelli.
And I'm Melanie Bettinelli.
And we have survived Christmas. At least we're still in the octave of Christmas, but we survived Christmas Day.
Yep.
So let's talk about what's going on, what our week. Let's talk about Christmas. But before that, we should talk about the week leading up to Christmas. We had some fun, interesting things. On Monday of Christmas week, you were able to take the kids to confession at our parish.
Yes.
I was still working, but yeah. It was like at 4 o'clock, 4:30?
4 o'clock.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, our parish is part of a three parish collaborative, and they've been rotating confession at our parish every 3 weeks, and at the other 2 weeks it's at the other
on Fridays
two parishes, and it's on Friday afternoons. And I think it lined up so that like November's time at our parish was the day of my surgery, and then the next one came around was like we had a conflict that day with like an appointment or something. Anyway, this was they added a special Monday time of confession, like Christmas week. And that was pretty much the first time that we've been able to go in months.
Yeah.
And yeah, it worked out really nicely.
All the kids went,
except the youngest, who hasn't made her first confession yet.
Right. She's not ready to go yet. All those who are eligible.
Right.
Yeah.
It was really nice. Actually, we were the only people there. Other than the priest, like he was still setting up when we walked into the church, and nobody else had come by the time we left. So the kids kind of wandered around the church looking at things. I instituted church visits when they were really little, and we would like walk around and look at the stations of the cross and talk about the different things in the church. And they still really think that, like, if we're at church and it's not Mass, then they need to walk around and look at the stations of the cross and inspect everything. It's kind of cute.
Well, the church is a catechism in a building, right? I mean, that's how the stained glass, the statues, the paintings.
Right. We look at the statues, the stained glass, identify the various saints in the windows, that sort of thing. So that was really nice. The kids took turns walking around with Lucy and doing the stations of the cross, and then they would peel off one by one to go make their confession and then say their penance and then come back and finish doing the stations of the cross.
And then what happened when you went into confession?
So I was the last one. I let them all go first. While I was making my confession, they started singing.
Christmas?
They were singing Advent songs, I think.
So once in Royal David City.
People Look East.
Okay.
O
Come Emmanuel.
O Come Emmanuel. O Come Divine Messiah.
Okay.
So our church is this old, 100-year-old neo-Gothic church, mm-hmm. and it's got really nice acoustics. Our kids aren't the best singers in the world. But the church acoustics made them sound like angels choir. It was really beautiful. So I finished my confession and went to make my penance. And then a child needed help remembering how to say the prayers that they were assigned. And the whole time there was, singing going on, and it was really beautiful. It was kind of one of those moments where it just, that sort of unearthly beauty. Later in the week, you guys ended up watching Home Alone, and I was reminded of that scene when Kevin goes into the church and the choir is practicing and they're singing O Holy Night, and it's just this like ethereal beauty.
Mm-hmm.
It was it was a moment like that, like just that sort of moment outside of time when everything just seems beautiful and perfect.
The unselfconsciousness of children too.
And you know, it was the solstice. We did try to look for the conjunction of Saturn and Jupiter as we were leaving the church, but unfortunately it was really cloudy and we couldn't see anything. We could see the moon through the clouds, but that was all we could see.
You know, speaking of the conjunction, it's a good thing in a way that it was cloudy, because I would have been really annoyed. So
yes.
my sister had swung by a couple weeks ago and dropped off a family Christmas present for us. And she kind of was hinting that we might want to open it now. And we're like, no. We open presents on Christmas. We don't open Christmas gifts early.
Right. In fact, I sort of am.
You're really rigid about that.
Really stodgy about opening Christmas, waiting and saving my Christmas presents till Christmas. I really just like the anticipation of
opening presents, like delayed gratification as opposed to.
Yes,
I am immediate gratification guy.
Right. And I really like the experience of sitting with a box unopened for a period of time.
J.J. Abrams, mystery box guy. I'm like Anthony. If it's there, it's asking to be opened. I want to know what's inside.
I like the anticipation.
And Sophie's like that, too. She likes the delayed gratification. Well, in any case. We didn't open it, and then when Christmas rolled around, we opened it up. It turned out it's a telescope, which
a really nice one.
A nice one, yeah. And she got it for us, like partly I think ahead of time, so that we could look at the conjunction with it. But we wouldn't have been able to see anything anyway because of the clouds. So I don't feel bad about it as much as I would have.
Bit bad though. That would have been really stinky if we'd had a really good telescope and then hadn't used it because we hadn't opened it.
Yes. Well, maybe let this be a lesson to you, Melanie. Sometimes delayed gratification isn't better.
I have a very hard time conceding this point.
Yes, I can imagine you would be. All right. So let's talk about. The other thing that happened during the week was Lucy had in this ongoing series of. Allergy challenges where we're trying to see if she can get over her various allergies. Just to recap, she's over her egg allergy. The doctor gave her the all clear on eggs, and I've been making her eggs for breakfast every few days, once in a while. And then I made deviled eggs for Christmas.
She did not like them.
She did not like that.
She tried though.
Yeah, later on. Well, I was going to mention about the 1 hour boiled eggs, but that's a whole nother. Melanie
that
forgot
had that. Nothing to do with it.
Yeah, Melanie forgot about the boiled eggs in the Instant Pot. Instead of sitting there for 4 minutes after they're done, they're not under pressure. They just sit in the hot water or hot steam for 4 minutes. They sat in there for an hour because you're busy and got away from you.
I was doing a bunch of other
It did
things.
Not harm the eggs. They were fine. All right. So she's over the egg allergy. She can have almonds. We're continuing through various appointments to work the other ones. And so this week it was dairy.
Yay.
And she's over her dairy allergy, which I mean, gosh. So the big three that are left was the dairy, wheat, and corn. And the biggest two I felt like were wheat and dairy. I mean, corn is kind of big because, like I said before, corn's and everything. But getting dairy, we're more excited than she is.
Right.
Partly because she doesn't know what she's missing.
Right.
But also partly because she's never really had milk since she was very little. I mean, she did when she was a little allergic to it. She having milk now is kind of weird for her. Like, she doesn't like a glass of milk.
Right. She doesn't necessarily like the taste of milk because she didn't acquire it when she was little. But she liked ice cream a lot.
Oh, yes. She liked vanilla. She did.
She picked mint chocolate chip, tried it, said, oh, I don't really like mint. Fortunately, we had some vanilla in the freezer and she liked that a lot. She finished two bowls of that.
Yes.
She liked the yogurt. Like, she tried lime yogurt and lemon yogurt and she liked that pretty well.
Yeah.
She has tried a few different kinds of cheese, and she said it tasted interesting. Which she tried a nibble, and she didn't go back for more. But, you know, cheese is sort of one of those tastes that grow on you, I think. I think that it's one of those things you try a bunch of times before.
Like cream cheese? She tried cream cheese on a bagel. She wasn't excited by that.
But then again, I didn't like cream cheese on a bagel until I was, well, a parent. So I think she's got some time to get to get acquainted with it. It can grow on you.
Yeah. What was the other things she tried that she didn't quite like?
She didn't really like eggnog.
Oh, yes. Well, eggnog is very much an acquired taste. And she didn't. She didn't have the good stuff. She had the bottled stuff from the grocery store. So what else? I'm not going to give her the stuff with bourbon in it. But what she did love was
milk
chocolate. Oh my goodness,
she got a chocolate orange in her stocking and a chocolate Santa and Hershey's Kisses, and she loved all of those. Like, up until this point, she's been able to have dark chocolate, but she doesn't really like dark chocolate very much. And I've only found one dairy-free milk chocolate, which used rice milk. It was like a Rice Krispies sort of candy bar. And they're
like all that stuff. It's wicked expensive and rare as hen's
teeth. Hard to find. And of course, it doesn't come in like fun shapes or holiday. It's like a bar of chocolate.
This is punishment.
Right. So, yeah, milk chocolate has been a wonderful revelation, and she's loving it.
One thing that the doctor warned about, which we've experienced, is that because she has not, you know, had milk in years, she's got to grow her lactose, you know, digesting enzymes. So she had a little bit of a bellyache the first day. So we've got to ease her into it.
Yeah, she had two bowls of ice cream. And I think that she was fine after the first one. It wasn't until the second one that she got a bellyache. Right. So, and it didn't last long. It wasn't a massive bellyache.
I was going to get her some chocolate milk when I stopped at the convenience store today. I wanted to try her out on chocolate milk. I was trying to convince her that chocolate milk comes from chocolate cows. She wasn't buying it.
Didn't she have some of your hot cocoa the other day?
She did have some hot cocoa. Yes. I think she liked that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard not to like hot cocoa.
Doesn't like hot cocoa.
I mean, when Bella was a toddler and didn't like cow's milk, I gave her chocolate milk.
Yeah. In fact, I gave her, I made her a chocolate, hot chocolate this week too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So she's good on that. Yes.
The best way to learn how to drink milk, I think, is chocolate milk. And then you sort of ease off the chocolate and ease on the milk and, you know.
But what's exciting for us is that, like, now we can make things like chowder and not have to separate out some of it for her, you know, in the just before the dairy step. Or
although she didn't like the chowder as much with the dairy.
She doesn't like dairy. She didn't like chowder really all that much to begin with, I don't think.
It's a hit or miss. Okay. Sometimes she likes it, sometimes she doesn't.
But we can cook things in butter, like vegetables in butter instead of just in oil. and all those other things. Like, you and I have all those, we're like, oh, we can make this and we can make that and this is going to be great and we're going to be able to make all these things. And she's like, whatever. Like, she doesn't really care. So that's been kind of fun. And so I'm looking forward to getting over the wheat thing, and that way she can restart. We can really plan for First Communion with that. I know she can receive the gluten-free host, but the...
No, she can't.
Oh, no, I'm not... She can't receive the gluten-free host because it's wheat, not gluten, that she's allergic to. And, but, like, she'd have to receive from the cup, and doing that in the pandemic is a whole nother problem. So if we can just eliminate the problem, that would be great. And then the corn would be another big thing. So, looking forward to that. Those are coming up in, what, February or something like that? Those are a couple...
There's a couple scheduled for January and one for February or something like that.
We're a little ways out on that. All right, so let's talk about Christmas Eve. We had our usual Christmas Eve dinner, and then the kids went to bed at fairly good time.
Sort of. Really.
Well, they knew that they had to get up for midnight mass, so there wasn't as much problem getting them off to their rooms. Let's put it that way.
I think that the older girls still weren't really going to sleep until like 10:30, and then we woke them up at 11:30, so yeah. They were pretty groggy.
I gotta say, 11 o'clock came really quick Christmas Eve.
It seemed to come a lot quicker than I remember coming in previous years.
Because I was watching the Star Trek, the new Discovery episode for Secrets of Star Trek. And then I finished that and I started watching It's a Wonderful Life, as I like to do on Christmas Eve. And I got halfway through it. I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's 11 o'clock. We need to start getting ready because we want to get there like at 11:45. And we didn't really you got to ease them out of bed. You can't just go in and flip the lights on and go, let's go. So the easing began and we got out of here, what, at 11:30?
Something like that.
And because it's Christmas, and I don't know how, you know, every parish, every area, every diocese is doing something different right now, but our places is, you know, we have a regularly assigned Sunday pew for our Mass, our Sunday Mass. Some places are doing, you have to register for every week, which is, that just seems like a lot of work. Like you go every week, you have to go online and register for that Mass. Ours is, it's set aside for you and that's that. But for Christmas Masses, of course, they had to do something different. And so we were registered and they put us in two pews across the aisle from each other. And I think I know why.
It's because it was the pews that have the big pillars in them. So it's a shorter pew.
Yeah. So like you said, it's an old English Gothic church. And a lot of these older churches have those pews. They're like the window seat in the airplane where it doesn't lean back. This is the obstructed. There's a big pillar here and you can't get out on that side.
Right. They're gigantic pillars.
Yeah. Like it blocks the whole pew. The pew ends. It's like a wall. So it's a short. And so it makes the pew shorter. And I think they just assume you can't fit seven people in this pew.
Well, we showed them.
I said, hold my beer.
We did not have beer at church.
I know people who have done things like that at midnight masses and historically.
That was why I wanted to be clear.
Yes.
That was a metaphorical beer.
Yes. So
not an actual beer.
Yes. Only metaphorical beer is allowed at church. So we all fit in the pew and it was nice. So there's not supposed to be congregational singing. But they're singing Christmas carols.
They're singing Christmas carols. There are a lot of people singing with their masks on, but
yeah,
people were wearing masks and not singing. Like they were not like
belting
it out. Yeah. They were just quietly singing along with the Christmas carols. And
well, it's not like you belt out Silent Night.
Well,
some people do, I guess.
I don't know how you sing Silent Night.
Silent Night. I do the heavy metal version. So Father Mike, our pastor, was celebrating that Mass, which was nice. And I'm trying to think of anything like his homilies are always awesome. And it was just as good as usual.
It was really good. I can't remember any of it.
Darn it. I was hoping you'd remember.
mostly I remember one child
falling asleep on you.
No, got really, really hungry in the middle of Mass and just was over. Tired and not really coping very well.
Yes.
I had to do a lot of comforting and fortunately I had a hanky in my pocket, but their mask ended up needing to be washed afterward because it was
a mess.
It had been sobbed into.
Well, and the other thing is Father Mike's Midnight Masses, so he does like the Roman Canon, the first Eucharistic prayer, the long one. He doesn't skimp on anything, which is fine. But that means Mass didn't get over till what? After 1:10?
It was about 1:30 when we got home.
We got home at 1:30. Of course, they all have to have a snack, like a cookie or something like that. So we have a little celebration.
Fudge. Most everybody had fudge or else they had a sugar cookie.
Right. You made some fudge. And so then it was like 2 o'clock before they got in bed.
It was almost 2.
Yeah, and
like a quarter to 2. At least.
I know you were up much later than that because I saw the Ring camera, the doorbell, it had a video of you going outside to the car at like 4 a.m. or like between 3:30 and 4. I caught you on it. I'm like, what is this? Is this? Did I get Santa? Did I get a video of Santa going in the door? No, it was just Melanie.
Yeah, well, I'm wired after that, and I ended up watching a movie. I was gonna just like watch a little bit of it.
And you also had some wrapping to do and that sort of stuff and prepping and that sort of thing. So that morning I got up 8-ish, which is relatively late for me. The two early birds were up already. I think Sophie didn't sleep past 6. she just cannot sleep in. She's usually up at 5. Ben was up, and then the rest of them started getting up, and they started doing the whole, can we wake up mom? Can we wake up mom? I'm like, God help you if you wake up your mother before she's ready to get up. That woman is tired.
I would not have bitten anybody's head off.
I didn't let them. So I made the deviled eggs and made tea and, you know, coffee and that sort of stuff and kept them busy. And I think we opened gifts like around after 10.
It was after 10.
So
it was a nice, quiet Christmas. Quiet. Very quiet.
And that's one of the things I think that really distinguishes, like, 'cause we didn't go visiting my family because, of course, we have lockdown things here. And I know some people are doing they're not including their own family in that. But some of us, in our family felt a little under the weather during the week. And we thought that would be a bad idea. Not because it might be COVID, but because we just didn't want to pass around a cold or a flu or anything to anyone. Stomach bug or anything like that. That has happened at my family gatherings in the past, where, you know, and I think many large families. And so in my parents being elderly, I didn't want to give them anything. So we hung out but we were talking about, like, our philosophy, our way of doing Christmas is really laid back for most holidays. We don't make a big production. We just kind of tree, you know, a few decorations.
I mean, there's a few things that sort of make it feel Christmas, and we try to hit those notes. Mm-hmm. So sugar cookies are sort of de rigueur.
Food is definitely a part of our Christmas traditions. Right.
I made a list of, like, the baked goods that make it feel like Christmas and asked everybody what were the sort of, like, to rank them. Like, what can we, like, must we do before Christmas? What can we do, like, over the 12 days of Christmas? You know, what has to happen? And
it's surprising how many very definite, these are Christmas traditions they have that I didn't realize they saw as, this is what makes Christmas Christmas.
What was the one that surprised you?
I'm trying to think. Just like, excuse me, things like Christmas Eve. I mean, we have lobster on Christmas Eve. That's just, we live down the street from a lobster vendor in New England. I mean, it's not cheap. It's a little bit of a splurge, but it's not, like, for most people. I was
telling my brother and his girlfriend how cheap the lobsters were, and their jaws kind of hit the floor.
Yeah.
So
it's not hot dog cheap, but it's not also not like prime rib or, you know, filet mignon expensive. So we have lobster twice a year. We have once in the summer and once on Christmas Eve. So I knew that was part of the tradition, but, like, things like stuffed quahogs or stuffed clams. Quahog is a New England very large clam, for people who don't know.
They're giant clams.
Yeah, they're giant clams. They're not quite like gooey ducks, which have the really long foot, but they're just like a big, if you think of a cherry stone clam, it's like a huge version of that. Anyway, and the ones we got at the lobster barn,
they were really big.
They were really good. I'm definitely getting them from there, and they were like $2.99 each, which is awesome. That's really cheap. But yeah, like stuffed clams was, that was a tradition that they thought of. But there were other things, like non-food things. I'm trying to remember now, because Bella was mentioning them to me, like, that you have to do this. Like, certain things that I sing. Like, I sing, there's like a carol that I sing in a funny way. I forget what it was now. I don't remember what it was.
Well, I know they all think that you absolutely must read the night before Christmas on Christmas Eve.
Right. Christmas Eve, after prayers for bedtime, I must read 'Twas the Night Before Christmas.
Well, that's because you used to insist on doing it when they were little.
Yes, and I do. I always do the insertions of various funny things.
And I'm forced to leave the room because if I try to recite it along with you, God forbid, I'm doing something wrong. I don't know what.
Well, I'm not going to get to it. Just is distracting if someone else is reading along with me when I'm trying to read something. Anyway.
Uh-huh.
Sorry. So there are definitely things, traditions. And so what were the things that they said that, for food, they you know, the dessert things.
They definitely wanted to make sugar cookies, but then nobody actually wanted to be the one to make them. So there was a little bit of a tussle about that.
The dough got made and then sat there for several days.
Yeah, the dough got made and then nobody wanted to roll it out and there wasn't really room for it in the refrigerator. So it kind of sat at room temperature for a couple of days and then eventually rolled it out and put it in the fridge to chill.
And then the making of the cookies is a problem because they can only be done when all are present.
Because everybody has to help cut out and decorate yes. the cookies.
Right. We are in that stage still where no one has done the I'm too cool to make the sugar. I'm not sure if our kids will ever get like that. Maybe. Who knows? But yeah. So the making the cookie, what else did they say was things that we must do? The fudge.
Fudge was just sort of we like that, but I didn't feel like it was quite in the category of it's not Christmas without it.
Okay.
It was more just like fudge is good.
What about the fruitcake?
Fruitcake is one of my, I really, really want fruitcake for Christmas. So I made fruitcake. This year, I didn't buy the fruits from the grocery store.
The fruits intended for fruitcake?
Yeah. The last time I was running out of time to make my own, so I just cheaped out and bought the, and it was okay, but it wasn't great. This time I actually saved orange and lemon and lime peels and candied them myself. And then I soaked all the fruit overnight in bourbon. Oh, yeah.
Wild turkey. Where did that bottle of wild turkey come from? Because I know I didn't buy it.
I think I bought it for cooking with.
Okay.
It's you don't need expensive
bourbon.
You're
not using my bullet bourbon to make fruitcake. No.
No. So I soaked the fruit and nuts overnight in the bourbon. And then after the fruitcakes came out of the oven, I poured more bourbon on top. So they were pretty boozy.
Oh my gosh. Those things are boozy.
So good. I've decided.
Have a cigarette after eating one.
I've decided that I've tried the fruitcake with various kinds of alcohol and bourbon is like, I'm just never going to try anything else again because I just like it so much.
Well, speaking of boozy desserts, why is Christmas is boozy dessert time? I don't know, but we've got to make the rum balls.
We do.
Yeah.
That's one of my mom's, my mom always made rum balls and I feel like it's sort of, they don't have to happen before Christmas.
They just have to happen.
They have to happen sometime during the Christmas season.
Yes.
Yeah. But at the same time, I'm going to end up eating them all because they're so boozy that the kids can't really have them.
You and me will be splitting them.
But yeah, the fruitcake, I did not go to the store to buy any fruit. So I was basically just scraping the drawer.
So every time we had lemons, we cooked with lemons, or if you had an orange.
And I had a couple limes in there too.
Okay. You scrape out the pith.
No. You do not want to scrape out the pith. The pith must be, it's can't that you soak them.
Okay, so it's, okay.
No, you have the whole peel.
Yeah.
You just peel the fruit off.
Okay.
That you eat.
I thought I saw you scraping the pith off.
No, I was scraping the fruit membranes off.
Oh, the fruit membranes. Oh, okay.
And then you soak them, or you can either soak them overnight or you can boil and change the water, like boil for 10 minutes, then change the water to fresh water, then boil for 10 minutes, like three times. So you want to get all the bitterness out.
Yeah.
But the oils are still there that have the flavor. So you get rid of the bitterness in the pith, but you want the pith there because that's what makes it chewy.
Okay.
Otherwise it's leather.
It's just zest.
Yeah. It's just zest.
Right.
You want the whole peel.
Okay.
And then you cook them, you boil them in sugar water, like syrup until it boils.
Till it boils away, essentially.
Away.
Yeah.
Boils. Well, I have about a cup of syrup left.
Oh, right.
Which is like citrus syrup.
Citrus.
It's really good.
I've got to figure out what to do with that.
Put in mixed drinks.
Mm.
Anyway, and then I also had some dried figs, dried mango and papaya, some currants and golden raisins and cranberries. So I threw all those in and
soak them all in the booze.
Yep. With some toasted pecans and some almonds.
And then mix it with the batter.
Yeah. And the batter is just, it's a very simple batter. You add some ginger and cinnamon and nutmeg and cloves, allspice. Yeah. Your
standard Christmassy spices.
I also threw in some actual just lemon zest because I happen to have it sitting on the counter. So I threw that in there too. I'm not sure that makes that much difference.
It's interesting that the Christmassy spices are all sort of hot spices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, yeah, that warm, you want something warm.
Right. Right. They're warm spices. Interesting. Yeah, it's good. I mean, I never liked fruitcake before. This is good.
It's very tender. It's not like, it's not hard fruitcake. It's soft.
Well, that's the thing. The reputation of fruitcake is that it's like, you know, it's like a stone and it sits in your stomach like a log, you know, like it's just, whoa.
This is a very, I mean, it's dense.
It's dense, but it's like brown bread dense. It's chewy. It's moist. It's moist dense.
Well, it's moist because you pour the bourbon on top of the cake after it comes out of the oven.
Right.
You do it a couple times. Like, the longer you keep it, you just keep pouring bourbon on it to keep it soft.
Right. And it preserves it, too.
Right. It'll last for a year or more.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it will get a little bit drier and more dense if you keep it for a year.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of boozy treats...
Right.
Homemade eggnog.
That's a good boozy treat.
Yeah. So I did the Alton Brown homemade eggnog recipe, which is you cream the yolks on eggs with sugar, and then you add milk and cream and nutmeg and bourbon. And then separately you whip up the whites with sugar, and then you kind of whisk them together to make it very frothy and light. And he ate, so the eggs, you can cook. There's a variation of the recipe to cook the eggs. I think that's not as good. He does, his is uncooked, but it's so much bourbon in it. I don't know. I'm not too worried. But he also ages his in the fridge. He'll make it 6 months in advance. Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
Well, it's a lot of space in the fridge. If I had an extra fridge or, you know, it was just the two of us, that might be something that would work, but yeah. But yeah, the eggnog is good, but it's so rich and strong. I only really want it once in the Christmas season. I know you would like it more.
I could have it more.
But it's light. It's not like the store eggnog, which is like, it's really like
more
thick
of like a custard.
Yeah. Yeah. This is much better. So, so then we had a rib roast again for Christmas. We had that last year. It worked out really well. It's the low and slow method. It was like 250 for like 3.5 hours, 4 hours.
It was so tender. It was just falling apart.
Oh, so good. You know what I did with the ribs? So you cut the ribs off to serve it, and I saved the ribs. I cut on the 26th, I cut the meat off the ribs, and then I took some leftover of the roasted potatoes, and I chopped them all up and made hash. Best hash ever. It was really good. With hash and eggs. So that was good. You made challah?
I did. My challah did not come out very well this year.
I think our house was a little cold when you were doing it, trying to get the rise going.
Well, also, I was trying to coordinate it with the cookies.
Oh, right.
Or something like that. Like, the oven needed to be used, and then the oven needed to be used for dinner. So I was trying to get the challah...
In the middle of things.
In the middle of things. So it didn't rise enough.
Yeah.
I probably should have put more yeast in it for a quicker rise, but I was afraid to do it. I was afraid it was going to rise too quickly and it would be ready to go in the oven when the kids were still making the cookies. Anyway, it was kind of flat.
Yeah. It was still yummy. It was really good.
It was good, but yeah. It wasn't great.
Oh, well, every once in a while you're gonna end up with a flat challah.
I mean, it looked pretty.
Yes, the braid was nice and it was really nicely brown. All right, so that's Christmas Eve and Christmas dinner. I mean, the food we've eaten in the last 3 or 4
way
days.
Too much food.
Way too much.
Oh my gosh,
it's time to, you know, kind of go into the, you know, I like celebrating and food is a part of that celebration, but it's time to kind of go into the January. Let's start to just go back to having like vegetables and salad and stuff and a little lighter on things like that. Yeah. Not as many desserty things. Frankly, that's really the thing. It's the desserty stuff. That's what gets me.
But yeah, we did video chats with
your family,
my family, and a quick video chat with your family.
Yes, that was fun. Everybody but us was at my brother's house and it was loud and no one could hear us. It was funny. I mean, the phone got passed around. Your family was a little more organized and they were at the table.
Right. I mean, I did a separate phone call with my dad because he can't really do group phone calls anymore.
His hearing aids are Bluetooth connected to his phone.
Right.
And that's how he
can't track after his stroke. His verbal abilities are such that he can't track if more than one person is speaking. So generally he just kind of waves in a group chat and then goes and does his own thing. Yeah. So I did a FaceTime chat with just him first, mm-hmm. so that he wouldn't feel left out when I did the FaceTime chat with everybody else, which was this year. It was just my mom and my dad and my youngest brother and his girlfriend came over for dinner. My sister stayed in Dallas, and my other brother and his wife,
they stayed at home.
Stayed at home.
Yeah.
So it was a quiet Christmas.
Yeah.
But happy. And then the kids and I, after Christmas dinner, ended up watching Star Wars Rebels.
Was it the finale?
No, we did the finale
on Saturday.
On Saturday.
Okay. So you guys have finished all of Star Wars Rebels. We won't talk about any spoilers. You can go listen to the Secrets of Star Wars podcast for that.
I just have to say that I really, really like the way that series ended. And it was fun to watch it with the kids.
Yes. I'm glad that they finally finished it. And I can now talk about the stuff and not have to worry about spoilers. But they still get to work their way through Clone Wars, which is the whole... they got like 5 seasons of that left.
Yeah, I've still got a lot of Clone Wars left to watch. It's a little bit daunting how much is left of that show.
So speaking of watching things, so I mentioned last time I had been watching some Christmas movies. I watched Die Hard. I watched Christmas Vacation, the Chevy Chase one. This week I watched... I did a lot of Christmas watching. So I watched White Christmas, the Bing Crosby one, which was one of my favorites. And then I also watched A Muppet Christmas Carol, which I hadn't seen in ages. It was really good. What's his name? The human actor who plays Scrooge in that. Michael Caine, knew it was going to come to me, is really good in that. I mean, he really puts in a really good performance. He's not just, you know, playing against the puppets, you know? I mean, if you were in a movie with a bunch of Muppets, I think it could be tempting to kind of like, it's just a kid's movie. He really plays that as well as if he was in it with, you know, a regular human cast. I get a lot of respect for him for that. But I like it. It's fun. It's funny. Gonzo as Charles Dickens, the narrator, and Rizzo the Rat as his sidekick. I think it was a brilliant device they had for
they put Charles Dickens like as a character in the story.
Yes. Gonzo, sort of an almost fourth wall breaking, like, I know I'm Gonzo, but I'm Charles Dickens. It was kind of funny. But it was a nice Christmas Carol can get really heavy. And for kids, that might be a little, it breaks it up a bit. So it was nice. And I liked a lot of the music, and they'd use a lot of the original language, and, you know, it's almost like a lot of it is the right out of the book. So it's really good. So that one, but my favorite, I have to say, is the 1970 Scrooge with Albert Finney, which is the musical version. There's nothing like that scene with the Ghost of Christmas Future where the people are celebrating Scrooge's death. And they're singing this song, this huge song, and processing with his casket down the street, singing, "Thank you very much. That's the nicest thing you've ever done for me," to him, like dying. And he doesn't realize that they're celebrating his death. He thinks they're celebrating him. And he's dancing along with it and singing, and, "Oh, you're so welcome. I'm so happy to be." And it's so macabre. It's so like this guy is clueless. And then they get to the grave, and then. Is the all that stuff.
I don't think I've ever seen that version.
Oh, it's so good. And they even like have he goes to hell and he encounters Marley in hell and sees what his eternal punishment is going to be. Is to basically be Bob Cratchit for Old Scratch in hell, wearing the chain that he's forged for himself in life. They have this scene where the devils in hell come and They look like executioners, so they don't like devils per se. They come and they drape the chains on him, his chain on him and stuff. In this one, Marley is played by Alec Guinness, which is he doesn't look at all like himself, like you remember from Star Wars. So a very different looking Alec Guinness. And Albert Finney does a great job. The music in it is really awesome. There's so many great songs in it. I'm a sucker for musicals, so.
Yeah, I guess I've probably never seen it because I don't really love musicals.
It's really good.
I mean, there are a few exceptions, but as a rule, I'm just not really a musical theater person.
I really like Christmas Carol, like the various movie versions. I like the 1956 one with Alistair Smith, so the old one. The George C. Scott version from the 70s is really good. They all have something to recommend them. There's others I don't like as much. The Bill Murray one, I know a lot of people like it, and Bill Murray is funny, but I think it's maybe it's too Bill Murray in that one, the Scrooged.
Right. I remember seeing that one, and maybe even in the theater.
Yeah, probably. That's where I saw it. But these ones, these are some of my favorites, so I like these different versions. But
I don't think I've seen a version of it in like 20 years.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe we should watch it. But you mentioned before the kids and I watched Home Alone. They had never seen Home Alone before.
And I was kind of sad to miss watching them watch it.
You were shopping.
I was, running last minute errands.
Running errands. So I wanted to watch it with them because I remember watching it as a kid at their age. And how hysterically funny it was. And yes, just watching them. I had more fun watching them laugh at the antics of Kevin and the wet bandits than I had watching it, the movie itself myself. It was just so much fun. So hysterical. And I knew all the parts where the kids were going to be guffawing and they're red faced, falling on the floor, laughing. It was so much fun. But one of the things I love about this movie is that scene where, like you mentioned, where Kevin goes into the church on Christmas Eve and meets the old man. And the old man, the old man is trying to tell Kevin about, people misunderstand me because of the rumors that he's a murderer who's gotten away with it or something. And he's just an old man who's estranged from his son and his son's family and is sad about it. And he's like, sometimes you're not welcome in places. And Kevin says, in church? And the old man says, oh, no, you're always welcome in church. It's sort of just matter of fact thrown out there, And Kevin just gets some advice, look, just call your son. What do you got to lose? you could stay sad, or you could just give him a call and maybe something good will happen. I mean, just this really great advice that he gives.
sometimes kids see things more clearly.
They cut through the baloney.
Yeah.
The beginning of the movie is kind of takes me aback because of how badly everyone treats him. His uncle calls him a little jerk. You little jerk. Look what you did. And I'm the uncle's the worst. Uncle Frank. But even the parents, he's kind of a annoying twit at a little bit. As a kid, he's kind of a spoiled brat. But he gets treated pretty badly, so maybe there's some understanding about it. But by the end of the movie, he's really, become more grown up, taking care. I mean, he fights off the wet bandits by himself, and the family begins to appreciate him. And his mother comes around. It's a great scene of her traveling in the back of a U-Haul with the polka band led by
John Candy.
John Candy, yes. Which apparently John Candy took that role as a favor to the director, John Hughes. He did it as a, they were friends. And so he just sure, I'll do your movie. And just, jumped in on that. I saw Netflix has that series.
It's such a prototypical John Candy role, though.
Oh, I know. I mean, I think he wrote it for John Candy.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, he wrote it and threw it at him. He's like, sure, whatever. Yeah, of course. But Netflix has that series, The Movies That Made Us. And this was one of the episodes was talking about the making of Home Alone. which was a huge surprise hit. I think I talked about this at one point, how one of the studios kind of threw it away. They didn't think it was going to be the big deal. And of course, it's a huge hit. It's a cult classic. So it was also very 80s.
Yeah.
You know, things like, we can't call Kevin, we have to get to a payphone, you know, in Paris, and like all these things that just, no, there's no internet, there's no, you know, it's just very, the limitations of the time. So
that's so weird.
Anyway, the kids loved it. So that was a lot of fun. And that's about it. I mean, we're up to, we're recording this on Feast of the Holy Family on Sunday. We talked about Feast of the Holy Family last year after Christmas, so a lot of the same thing. I do want to mention one thing from Mass. If you're a lector, when you're reading this more archaic language, you have to be careful of where you put your pauses. Because our lector today said, you know, the greeting from Sirach, my son, take care of your father when he is old. Grieve him not as long as he lives. Even if his mind fail, be considerate of him. Revile him. Not all the days of his life. So it sounded like she was saying, revile him. Not all the days of his life. No, there's not a space there. Revile him not. Which is, yeah, I mean, if you were to put this in more modern language, you'd say, don't revile him all the days of his life. But yeah, I just thought that was funny.
I always think of the, even if his mind fail, be considerate of him, always makes me think of King Lear. Like, that play is sort of an elucidation of the taking care of your father when he is old, and even if his mind fail, be considerate of him.
Well, I mean, this year, this reading was really hit close to home for me, because my own parents, you know, my parents, my mom's 82, my dad's 88, going on 80. Yeah, he's 88 this week, tomorrow as we record, or Tuesday. But and my mom is just showing the effects of her age and having, you know, some troubles with her mind, just to put it simply. And so seeing that is very, it brings it home. And hopefully my children will take care of me when I'm old and my mind is failing, which is, some days doesn't seem so far away.
No comment.
No, thank you for that. No comment. The second reading was from Colossians, and wives, be subordinate to your husbands as is proper in the Lord. No comment. Anyway, moving on. I think we should wrap things up.
Okay.
It's been a long holiday, and
it's been a long day.
So we need to move to the ending, which is going to take place right after I say we'd like to take a moment to thank our patrons who make it possible for us to create Raising the Bets, including Gwen L., Tabitha M., David B., Roger and Julie J., and Joshua P. Their generous donations at sqpn.com/give make it possible for us to continue Raising the Bets in all the shows at StarQuest. And now is a great time to become a StarQuest patron, thanks to a generous gift from a StarQuest supporter. When you start a new Patreon monthly pledge at sqpn.com/give, the first 3 months will be matched by an equal amount from our donor. So if you become a new patron at, say, $10 a month, after 3 months, our donor will give $30 to StarQuest to support all our shows, including this one. And that makes your gift go even further. So if you've been thinking of becoming a StarQuest patron, now is the time. Visit sqpn.com/give today. So that's it from us. If you have any feedback, we'd love to hear about what your Christmas was like, and what are your Christmas traditions, and what are the things your kids want you to do, or that you want your parents to do at Christmas as a tradition. Let us know by commenting at sqpn.com/bets, that's BETTS, or the SQPN Facebook page, facebook.com/StarQuestMedia, or send an email to bets@sqpn.com. If you can, we really do appreciate it. It really helps a lot when you write a review of the show at Apple Podcasts, and when you share the podcast with your friends to help us grow our community of listeners. So until next time, I'm Dom Bettinelli.
And I'm Melanie Bettinelli.
Thank you for listening to Raising the Bets on StarQuest.